Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the GameBuoy.org video game podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slagkit.
Oh, I was going to try to hold it for 61 seconds, but I don't think I can do that.
And that presumably is because today is Sunday, August 24th, and this is episode 61, Gamescom 2014. Welcome once again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to another episode of the GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
GameBuoy.org video game podcast.
As I just mentioned, this week we're going to be talking about Gamescom 2014, so buckle in and get ready for that. But first, we have our usual assortment of follow-ups and news bits, so in the interest of your time and our own, let's get started. Mr. McWaggy, if you'd like to kick us off.
World of Warcraft Warlords of Draenor. Draenor. Which sounds like a Drano or something, but it is the new expansion for World of Warcraft. There was a live stream event on August 14th, which revealed the new expansion's opening cinematic and the release date. And that release date will be Thursday, November 13th, which is different from their usual Tuesday releases. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. You know, I have a lot of concerns about that. You know, they have a pretty nice pipeline at this point in place for their Tuesday updates and their Tuesday maintenance. But, you know, pretty much every X-Pack release for WoW has been a bit of a shit show, and I feel like changing the details is probably not going to be a super good thing.
Yeah, and I mean, especially with the 10th anniversary coming up shortly after that.
Yeah, and they're doing special events for that, so, I mean, it's just seems like they're sort of packing a lot of stuff into a small window of time. I'm a little worried, but, you know, whatever. I play a ton of WoW these days. We'll talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah.
So I hope it goes well, and I'm really looking forward to the game. I thought the cinematic was great.
Yeah, there's also going to be a new animated lore miniseries called Lords of War, which is not anybody. I don't know if it's about royals.
Oh, hell no. Let's move off of WoW and talk a little bit about Guilty Gear Xrd Sign, which will be getting its home console release on PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4 in Japan on December 4th.
Woohoo!
Axis has confirmed that they'll be publishing Guilty Gear Xrd Sign in North America, and that it is slated for a 2014 release as well.
Wow.
Though we don't have a specific date yet.
Well, I would assume December.
Yeah, right?
Unless we get it sooner, which would be interesting.
It would be interesting, but I think it's probably unlikely. Although, you know, now that I've said that, watch, it's gonna happen. We also have news here that Hatsune Miku Project Diva F2 is going to be releasing in North America on November 18th, with the European territories joining the party on November 21st. In North America, you can pre-order from GameStop in order to get some special DLC dress modules for Miku, as well as an extra character pack. So please look forward to that if you're interested in Hatsune Miku. If you're not, why not?
Magical Beat is a new Arc System Works title that is a Tetris-like music puzzle game for the Vita. In Japan, you could also get it for PS3. It has memorable Guilty Gear and BlazBlue music.
Yeah, we actually talked about this a few episodes ago. It's pretty exciting they're doing a PlayStation 3 release in Japan. We don't yet have word if this will be coming to North America, the PS3 version, but I think it's a pretty safe bet.
In Atlas news, Etrian Odyssey Untold 2, The Night of Fafnir, was announced for the Nintendo 3DS.
Yeah, you know, we actually talked a little bit about this in our Rumor Has It segment a few weeks ago, that this website had popped up, this teaser site that Atlas was doing it, and there was a lot of speculation that it was going to be an Untold port of Etrian Odyssey 2. That has been confirmed, and, you know, presumably we'll see this game releasing at least in Japan later this year in winter.
Cool!
So you may recall that we had spoken previously in our Rumor Has It segment about how there was going to be a Assassin's Creed game for the previous gen consoles.
Just PS3 and 360.
Well, those are the previous gen consoles.
What about Wii?
The Wii is long dead. When was the last time you bought a Wii game?
Yeah, continue.
Like, Nintendo stopped releasing Wii games like 3 years ago.
Continue.
Girl. Anyway, so that game has come back. It is no longer known as Assassin's Creed Comet. It is now Assassin's Creed Rogue. Common.
Interesting.
And so we have some details on the game via Game Informer. So we will be getting Assassin's Creed Rogue on last gen and Assassin's Creed Unity on current gen. And the two games, they're not going to intersect per se, but supposedly they will have complementary stories.
Interesting.
Rogue is going to be another one of the pirate-style games. It will, apparently include sites all around the world. But something that's really quite strange about it is that you'll actually be playing as a Templar character as the main character in this game. A assassin, in fact, who has defected to the Templar cause, which presumably is why the game is called Rogue.
Yeah, and you know, I love pirates, obviously, but I'm hoping this kind of closes the chapter in pirates for a while.
Well, you know, if you look at the game as being structured in terms of trilogies, we had, you know, the Ezio trilogy and now the pirate trilogy, this would be the third game in that series. So I think that's probably a thing that's going to happen. There have been Ubisoft customer surveys asking people if they would play a pirates game that wasn't Assassin's Creed themed.
Interesting.
So I wouldn't be that surprised to see those mechanics survive in some other series, but I think they're probably wrapping it up in Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, because not everybody wants to do a ship battle when they're trying to just do assassination mission.
Yeah, I think the ship battles are really, really great. So, but, you know, differences of opinion are okay.
And you know what's funny? After all this time, Altair never got a trilogy.
Yeah, well, Altair was awful. That first
None
Assassin's
for you,
Creed
Altair.
Game was terrible. Anyway, we have news here that Dead or Alive 5 Ultimate will be releasing as downloadable content in North America and Europe this September. This is Neil Tengu. He is the Tengu-masked mystery man, you know, that was seen in the game's release in Japan previously.
Nice.
So that's something to look forward to for those of you out there still playing Dead or Alive 5 Ultimate. We also had news via a Nintendo Direct based on Hyrule Warriors that Ganondorf will be a playable character in Hyrule Warriors.
What?
Yeah, I mean,
there must be a greater evil at stake if Ganondorf is helping out. Unless you're just playing this is a Ganondorf mission from his side of the story.
Yeah, I don't know that, the game's out in Japan now, so we could probably find out if Ganondorf has his whole own story mode.
Shh, spoilers.
But exactly, I know that we have a lot of people listening who really care about that sort of thing, so I'm just gonna say the information's out there if you want it, and trust you to find that. We also have here a surprise announcement from Capcom that the original Resident Evil is getting an HD release on the current gen consoles. And last gen, in fact. Pretty much everything except the Wii U.
Boo.
Yeah, the sort of insult to injury about this is that this is an HD port of the previously GameCube exclusive remake of Resident Evil 1.
Right?
That game is still beautiful, the remake as we tend to refer to it. So I'm sure that remake HD is going to be great, but at the same time, really, Capcom, y'all couldn't do a digital-only release for Wii U, at least?
Yeah, I mean, especially if it can run on PS3 and 360.
Yeah, you know, and there's a lot of people who are expecting it to have gotten a 3DS port, and it hasn't, so that's also strange. Resident Evil Revelations sold more on the 3DS than on any other platform.
Yep.
So, sort of got to question what Capcom is doing over there.
Yeah.
You want to talk about this next one?
I do. Along with the release of Pokemon Alpha Sapphire and Omega Ruby, there will be a distribution event, and that will be Shiny Beldum. And that will be eventually able to be a Shiny Mega Metagross. Ew, Garrosa.
Oh, that's
also
excellent.
We've also had some news about other Mega Evolutions, thanks to Japanese magazines, I'm guessing Korokoro. There's Mega Salamence, Mega Altaria, and Mega Lopunny.
Excellent, excellent. We have here some really interesting news coming from Katsuhiro Harada-san from the Tekken series. You might be familiar with Harada-san as the series producer on Tekken. He wrote a post to the Tekken Facebook asking Tekken fans whether they would like to see an Arab, quote-unquote, Arab character in Tekken 7, along with concept art and concept design sketches for what this character would look like. And this is with, basically, Harada-san said, along with this image and this question, that they've wanted to do an Arab fighter since 2008, But they felt like since all of their development team members were Japanese and they didn't know a lot about Middle Eastern culture, they didn't want to sort of half-ass it. So Harada-san has been visiting places such as Dubai and Saudi Arabia, and they've been having development staff specifically study Middle Eastern culture and designs so that they could create a character representing that culture faithfully.
Excellent.
Yeah, so that's something presumably that we'll see in Tekken 7, and I think it's great, you know, Harada-san specifically asked any people of Middle Eastern descent who are fans of Tekken to please reach out and give feedback on the designs that were posted so that they can, you know, make sure that they're, you know, accurately representing the culture. So, I think that's really cool.
Yeah. So, Sword Art Online Hollow Fragment is getting a free update in September, starting on September 23rd. It will raise the level cap from 200 to 250. Also, in a somewhat problematic edition, there will be a wedding dress, dress shirt, nightie, and school swimsuit for all the game's heroines.
So this is the update that we talked about several times in the last few months. The last that we had heard, it seemed like this update might not be coming to North America due to the size of it and how much content is being added. Fortunately, in advance of the release, which, you know, was actually just a couple of days ago, this game is available now. Bandai Namco, I nearly did it again. Bandai Namco did announce that the update will be coming. As Psychic said, that's going to be available starting September 23rd, and it will remain free until November 18th, after which point they'll be treating it as DLC.
Yeah, I mean, I find, like, the 90s and stuff a little bit fanservice-y, but...
That's actually a separate DLC pack. That's not part of the content update.
Okay, I misread that, then.
And the game is a dating sim, and it is a part of that genre to gift clothes to characters. So, I mean, I don't necessarily like it, but there's definitely a lot of precedent for that from a gameplay perspective.
Yeah.
So, you may recall, we've talked many times about the current state of the Dreamfall chapters, The Longest Journey. The newest wrinkle in the thread now is that per a tweet from developer Red Thread Games, PlayStation 4 is going to be the exclusive console home of these episodes. Of course, the game will still be coming out on PC, and... Ragnar Tornquist still insists that the first chapter is on track for a November 2014 launch.
I still think his name is so metal.
Oh yeah, his name is metal as fuck. We also have news here that the North American release of Azure Striker Gunvolt is going to be hitting on August 29th. Japan actually got this game last week, along with a really cool side bonus game for free that we will also be getting free here in North America. This is called Mighty Gunvolt, and it's actually an 8-bit style crossover game featuring Mighty No. 9,
hey,
Gunvolt, and Ikoro from Galgun. These are, of course, all characters from games that Intic Creates has worked on, even though Gunvolt is actually the only IP that they own. Galgun, I don't believe ever came to North America, but it was a, it was a light gun game with vague eroge elements. Lots of panty upskirt shots and what have you. So, that game, in terms of actual stage layout and design, was actually a lot of fun. And it's interesting to see, a character from Galgun in this style of game. Anyway, a lot of people online that I've seen talking about this on various forums have actually said that they like Mighty Gunvolt more than they like the proper Gunvolt game, which is also reviewing well, just that apparently this little 8-bit throwback game is super fun.
Well, I'm so glad that we get it, like, next week.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's really great.
You know, we had been curious about how long it might take to get them pushed it through, but looks good.
Absolutely. We also have news here on some new characters for the Steam version of Super Time Force, which is releasing next week. It's going to feature the Pyro from Team Fortress 2 and Left 4 Dead's Zoe. In addition, the Team Fortress character Saxton Hale is going to be a playable character in the game. Obviously, they're all going to have their own attack types for use in various situations, and I tell you, this just makes Super Time Force Ultra an even more compelling buy.
STFU.
LOL, LOL, LOL. And last, but certainly not least, we have a quick barrage of Smash Brothers updates. So first up, we have here a cameo from the main character, the Prince of the Sable Kingdom, from The Frog for Whom the Bell Tolls, as an assist trophy. You know, this is actually pretty cool. The Frog for Whom the Bell Tolls was a Japanese-only Game Boy game. So this is, you know, digging deep into the
very
archives
obscure
for some fan service. But I think it's really cool when we see stuff like this pop up. We also have news that the collectible trophy gallery in Super Smash Bros. For 3DS, that game alone is going to have more trophies than Brawl. You may, of course, remember we've talked previously on the show about how the 3DS version and the Wii U version are going to have their own separate trophy galleries. And the implication here that Sakurai-san was making, I think, is that the 3DS game and the Wii U game themselves are each going to have more trophies than we saw in any previous iteration of the series.
Nice.
In other assist trophy news, we also saw an announcement of an assist trophy in the form of the Nightmare Wizard from Kirby.
Spoopy.
And he is going to cast like a darkness spell on the stage so that all fighters are going to have to just brawl blindly, in the words of Sakurai. So that's going to be pretty crazy. There's also going to be an assist trophy of Girahim, the villain from Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword, also as an assist trophy.
They are so fierce.
Yeah, seriously. And, you know, quite a few people in the fandom were upset because a lot of people were really hoping that this was going to be a full playable character in Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
So, it's cool to see representation, it's cool to see that they are going to be on the battlefield brawling, but I was really hoping for, you know, actual fighting. And last, but certainly not least here, we have news that the Super Smash Bros. For 3DS's music mode will have an option to continue playing music even in sleep mode. So for those of you like myself who never take your 3DS out of sleep mode, if you want to use your 3DS effectively as like an MP3 player to play through the soundtrack of Super Smash Bros., that is absolutely an option.
That's actually got some really cool implications for future things.
It really, really, really
does. I mean,
does.
Even if it's just and like, oh, Super Mario Galaxy 3DS or something, you know, if that ever happened.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Listen to its beautiful soundtrack, because that game had a beautiful soundtrack.
And, you know, we also got word on some of the composers that have done music for this game. It includes such luminaries as Yuzo Koshiro, Kenji Ito, Yasunori Mitsuda, Yoko Shimomura, Ace, and, I mean, you know, basically anyone you can think of in Japanese music games is represented here in some way on this massive list that was uploaded at the same time as the announcement about the music mode in the 3DS game. So, you know, I mean, there's even stuff here like Masashi Hamauzu, who did the music for Final Fantasy XIII, you know, the guy who did the music for Phoenix Wright, people who did the music for the most recent Pokemon games, Keiichi Okabe, who does the music for Tekken series, but also did the music for Nier. And, you know, Nier had some of the best music of the last generation, many of us believe, so that's really exciting. Just all around a really amazing list of musicians doing music for this game. So, if you enjoyed the all-star soundtrack of Brawl, this is gonna be that to the next level.
That is awesome. Here we go, Galaxy, here we go.
All right, well, with that having been said, it's time for some news.
News. News. News. Oh my god, news.
All right, well, first up, we have news here that Sega, just a few hours ago, in fact, announced the next Ryugagatoku game. This is, of course, going to be Ryugagatoku Zero. This is going to be a PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4 game, and it is intended as a mainline Ryugagatoku series entry. Though, obviously, the title indicates that it's going to be a prequel of some kind.
One would guess.
We know very little about the game so far, other than that Sega is going to be discussing it quite a bit at the Tokyo Game Show this year. So please look forward to that, and of course, when Tokyo Game Show arrives, we will be talking about it here on GameBuie.org.
GameBuie.org. At the Dragon Quest Summer Festival earlier this month in Tokyo, there was the announcement that a new Dragon Quest Monsters game is in production. As far as, you know, other real details about that, we're not too sure yet, but the producer of Dragon Quest Monsters 2, Taichi Inuzuka-san, promises that its competitiveness will be as fun as always.
Excellent, excellent. We have here also word from a couple of weeks ago now that BioShock is getting a port to iOS devices. This is going to be ported by 2K China, which is the same team that handled the iOS port of XCOM Enemy Unknown, so we know that the quality is going to be very high, and the game is going to feature game syncing between various iOS devices running, you know, the same user profile.
That's cool.
Looking at pictures of the game, it looks really great. My understanding is that it is going to be compatible with various game controllers as supported within the iOS infrastructure, and it's going to be the entire game aside from the DLC add-ons.
Wow.
Looking at it, at the pictures, it does look like a little bit of a visual downgrade, but only very slightly. So I think this is very exciting. I'm super stoked for this. And, you know, hopefully it's a good port because I love BioShock.
Yeah, that is super exciting news. And if you get an iPhone 6 phablet, the larger one that's rumored to come out, then you can enjoy it on that too. I think the word phablet is funny.
It is. We also have news here that Chaos Rings 3 is coming to iOS, Android, and Vita on October 16th.
That's interesting.
This is interesting because, you know, we've talked about Chaos Rings a little bit here on the show. It's an iOS Android RPG, JRPG, done by Square Enix that is very much like a PlayStation 1 era JRPG. Like, if you're looking for a PlayStation 1 era JRPG made in the modern age, Chaos Rings is the game you're looking for. And the really interesting footnote here is that the Vita version is called Prequel Trilogy. We didn't really know why that was until this morning. It has been announced that Prequel Trilogy is actually going to have ports of Chaos Rings, Chaos Rings Omega, and Chaos Rings 2.
Wow.
So it will be like all of the Chaos Rings series in one retail package.
That cray.
Which, you know, a lot of people thought this was very interesting, that the first retail version of Chaos Rings ever to be released was just going to be 3. Like, that's strange.
Mm-hmm.
But now we know why. It's going to be like a series package. Which is also why it's going to be a $50 game rather than a $10 download.
Well, it's three games in one.
Exactly so.
We have news that Renegade Kid has announced a new Metroidvania game called Zeo Drifter for the Nintendo 3DS. It actually started up as a mock-up for a 2D remake of Renegade Kid's game Moon Chronicles, which was their DS, 3DS first-person shooter. And the founder of Renegade Kid, Jules Watson, said that he's a huge fan of Super Metroid, Metroid Zero Mission, and Castlevania Circle of the Moon, and always wanted to develop a game in that subgenre. And it's going to use like a Neo NES color palette, support stereoscopic 3D. No release date yet, but there was a note that in the developer diary on Renegade Kid site, presumably, that they are going to be resuming work on Treasure Knots now.
That's great. I think that game looks great. You know, I love the Metroidvania subgenre. I love Renegade Kid. I think they're a great studio. So I'm really excited just overall for that game on pretty much every level. We have news here that Jeff Anderson, the voice and I guess live action actor who portrayed Randall in Clerks, is going to be doing the voice acting for the character named Randall, no relation, in a game called Randall's Monday, a point-and-click adventure game from Daedalic Entertainment and Nexus Game Studios coming to PC this fall. This is going to be a point-and-click adventure game that apparently takes place at a sci-fi convention.
And that would explain why I see like Clockwork Orange, Half-Life, and other cosplay.
Yeah, with a giant iron giant in the background. So, you know, this looks like a really cool game. There wasn't an announcement trailer for it that was super nerdy, like super, like, referential. So it seems like they're making, you know, like, basically a nerd game and bringing Jeff Anderson on board to be sort of the, you know, self-aware critiquing voice. So please look forward to it. That sounds great to me. I'm a huge Clerks 2 and Clerks the Animation fan, so I'll definitely be checking this out.
Man, nobody goes ass to mouth. That's nasty.
We also have here an announcement of Samurai Warriors Chronicle 3 for Nintendo 3DS and PlayStation Vita. This is going to be based on Samurai Warriors 4, which is, of course, a Musou game. All of these games are Musou games, it feels like. According to Famitsu, the game will feature several new scenarios and weapons. It will include the commanders from Samurai Warriors. Oh, it's more like a synthesis between Samurai Warriors 3 and Samurai Warriors 4. Interesting. Cool. And it will be releasing in Japan in 2014.
A Kamen Rider game called Kamen Rider Summon Ride is going to be similar to a Skylander sort of thing. It's going to have little Kamen Rider figures that will let you put your Kamen Riders into the game.
That's excellent. I love the look of the figures, too. I think they look really cool. Again, you know, just like Skylanders or Disney Infinity, the game is going to come with, like, a USB pod device that you put the characters that have their chips in them onto the pod. And, you know, it's funny because this is actually going to be the first Japanese-made game using this concept. And Bandai Namco, who's releasing, is actually the publisher of Disney Infinity in Japan. So it really seems to me like they probably got the idea from working with Disney Infinity. Of course, Square Enix handled the Skylander series in Japan. In any event, Kamen Rider Summon Rider is slated for release in Japan this December for Wii U and PlayStation 3. I expect I'll be buying a lot of them. We also have word here that Sega is going to be publishing a sequel to its somewhat popular Hero Bank series. This is slated for release in Japan on November 27th for Nintendo 3DS. And interestingly, you know, quite a few Japanese publishers have tried to do the Yokai Watch thing, where we've seen them release like a toy line and an anime series and a game all at the same time. The obvious examples are stuff like Geist Crusher that we talk about here a lot on the show, Gyro Zetter by Square Enix. But something interesting about Hero Bank is that while the game was not super popular, Hero Bank 1, the animation actually was fairly popular. So it'll be interesting to see, now that the Hero Bank name has a little bit of pull, if Hero Bank 2 might do any better than the first one did.
Yeah, let's hope. We got news that Don't Nod Entertainment, who you probably remember best from Remember Me, is working on a new episodic adventure game called Life is Strange. It involves a high school senior who returns to town after being gone for 5 years and discovers that her classmate has gone missing under rather uncomfortable and mysterious circumstances.
Yeah.
They plan to release it episodically, similar to the way that Telltale Games releases their episodic adventures. So that'll be interesting. I know that Remember Me, a lot of people liked it, but it kind of got overshadowed by The Last of Us, even though were there really that many similarities between the two?
I think the biggest problem with Remember Me is just when it released and the general cynicism about new IPs that exist in the games industry right now. The game itself is actually pretty good. It actually tells a pretty compelling story in a setting that is really interesting. So I really, really, really hope that Life is Strange can manage to be a hit, because Don't Nod really deserves it.
Yeah.
They really turned it out with Remember Me. So we have our fingers crossed. We'll definitely be supporting this game here at GameBuie.org.
GameBuie.org.
And if you haven't played Remember Me yet, it can be had super cheaply, and I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
We also have news here that Square Enix is going to be releasing a definitive edition on the current gen consoles of the last gen darling, Sleeping Dogs. Many of us call Sleepy Dogs.
Aww. Yeah, I was gonna say, in other Square Enix published news,
Sleepy Dogs' developer, United Front Games, has actually been working on this version of the game themselves. You might recall they also previously had worked with Crystal Dynamics on the Tomb Raider Definitive Edition. We don't know... Oh, actually, since this news story was originally posted, a release date for this game has been announced. This game will be releasing Sleepy Dogs Definitive Edition, on October 14th in North America and October 10th in Europe.
Oh, yay, Europe gets it earlier for once. That was not meant to be shady.
Don't be shady, be a lady. Ace Attorney Dual Destinies has released in North America and Europe for iOS. This is, of course, the HD resolution port of the Nintendo 3DS exclusive previously Ace Attorney game, like the newer Ace Attorney game that, you know, we were all talking about last year.
Yep.
It has a really interesting pricing structure where the first chapter is a free download and subsequent chapters are sort of bought episodically individually for
That's
like
$4
each. What was that?
That's a lot of money.
Well, it's just like $4 an episode.
No, I know.
There's
I'm
only
just,
like four more episodes.
I'm
it's
just
not
doing
that
a
much.
Throwback to, that's a lot of money.
Oh, I see.
I have to say the HD screenshots look great.
Yeah, it really does look super good. We also have news here on the announcement of a new game by Forgotten Key. This is a game called Air. It is going to be releasing on Steam and PlayStation 4. And I'm having a really difficult time explaining this game other than it looks really pretty. It's a super stylized exploration game where you play as like some animals and you like meet and are super cute, but there's no combat. Like it's all just like puzzle and exploration and super cute animals.
Yeah, I love the like intentionally super low polygon count.
Yeah,
look.
Me too. You know,
it almost looks like a cel-shaded N64 game or something.
Oh, totally. And the game is currently set to launch in the second half of 2015 for PlayStation 4 and PC, but they are also specifically in talks to try and get the game released on Wii U specifically, and also Xbox One. So hopefully this game lives up to its amazing potential because it looks beautiful and the design concepts that the folks over at Forgotten Key have talked about sound great. It really sounds like they want to make a cool, interesting, beautiful, and different experience.
We always like that here at GameBuie.org.
GameBuie.org. And yes, we sure do. It looks akin in design almost to something like a journey in terms of the way that exploration is handled and what have you. So
yeah,
very, very exciting stuff.
You might remember Protect Me Knight, which was developed by Ancient. It is a retro-style tower defense game for the Xbox 360 indie game service. The sequel, Protect Me Knight 2, is coming to the 3DS. It features music from Yuzo Koshiro-san, who is best known for work on Sonic and Etrian Odyssey games.
You
and
probably also know his work from the Streets of Rage games or ActRaiser. Many people consider him one of the best composers in all of gaming.
Yeah, and it's like a little 8-bit tower defense game, and I think this was previously only available in Japan, right? Did we ever get...
That is correct.
Yeah. So here's to hoping that we get Protect Me Knight 2 on the eShop or something like that.
In other only-in-Japan game news, Sega has announced plans to bring their crossover puzzle game Puyo Puyo Tetris to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
Not fair. I do not want that to be Japan only.
Puyo Puyo Tetris is already available in Japan on PlayStation 3, PlayStation Vita, Wii U, and Nintendo 3DS. The PlayStation 4 and Xbox One versions will include all of the DLC from the other versions, as well as four-player, same-screen multiplayer.
Okay, you play some Tetris, I'll play some Puyo Puyo. We'll see who does better.
That's actually a real thing, where, like, one person plays Puyo, one person plays Tetris, and all of, like, you know, if I send you lines or whatever because I'm playing Tetris, they would
still
show up.
It turns up as garbage?
On your side as garbage, yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. My understanding is that it's a great game. I should get that for my 3DS.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have an import 3DS. You should be downloading that right now.
We also have news here, although we don't have any news from it. I expect we'll be talking about this on our show next week. Sony is going to be hosting a press conference for the PlayStation family of consoles on September 1st at 3 p.m. Japan time.
Which is like 11 p.m. Pacific time.
Yes, that is correct. So, we will be talking about this as soon as we can.
Yeah, and in fact, the website says the latest information for PlayStation will be announced. So please look forward to it.
LOLOLOL.
Everyone's saying that now.
And last but not least for our news segment here today is that next Tuesday, we will be getting a quote-unquote shocking new Pokemon project announcement. This will be made in collaboration with Famitsu Magazine, and the announcement is going to be live-streamed on Nico Nico Douga in an event called the Famitsu Featuring Pokemon Special. We don't actually know what this is yet, but all signs definitely point to it being a new game. Not like an anime,
right,
or manga, or toy, but a new game.
Well, everyone's banking on Pokken Fighters, so we'll see.
Well, people have been banking on Pokken Fighters for the last year and a half, so
I like to be poking some fighters. Hey!
Oh, girl, maybe some sexy UFC fighters.
Well, yeah, that's what I meant.
In any event, let's get this show on the road and talk about a little bit of
and gloom.
In some doomy and gloomy news, Ultima Forever will be shutting down as of August 29th. And the only place that EA and Mythic's game will last forever is in the hearts and minds of those who play it, as quoted by this Joystick article. If you want to just go out with a bang, the next few days will bring an increased drop rate of gold keys, boosts to virtue and reputation rewards, and disabled equipment degradation, meaning you won't have to repair your armor and your weapons. So,
woohoo! I guess.
The thing that's kind of sad is that this game was just released last year. So, you know, I guess the free-to-play iOS RPG market better watch out.
Yeah, there is a lot of indication that that market is beginning to dry up. It's very scary right now.
And this was a little bit of a bummer when we found out that Dan Adelman, who was the indie spokesman for Nintendo, has left the company, not in any sort of drama way, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, you know, he himself has actually stated very strongly many times since he left that there was no actual drama that pushed him out of Nintendo.
Although there was the Twitter banning stuff, so that's when I was like, oh.
We have talked about that here on the show a little bit in the past when it happened, and he has stated that that had no connection to why he left, that, you know, while he did think that was silly, he was more than happy to oblige. And while he did personally think that Nintendo could really use some more organic outreach via social media, he was totally willing to play ball with their request for him not to tweet about Nintendo stuff anymore.
Yeah.
The reason why he's left is that he wants to remain in the games industry, and he wants to do what he was doing with Nintendo, but basically do it as an independent contractor for indie studios.
Yeah.
To work with them, to get them connected, not just to Nintendo, but also to, you know, Steam, and Microsoft, and Sony. He really believes in the indie game scene. He wants to continue working with Nintendo and utilizing those contacts, but have a bigger impact on the game indie gaming scene, because he thinks that's where the future of gaming is. I think
nice.
It's in actually, you know, it's a doom and gloom in that Nintendo, whom we love, lost a huge talent. But this is a huge win for gaming in general.
Yeah, definitely.
Mr. Adelman will definitely be missed at Nintendo, but I have absolute faith that he's going to make a huge positive impact across the rest of the industry.
Oh, I bet. I mean, you just look at how Nintendo's indie game has been on point for 3DS and Wii U.
Well, that's exactly. You know, a lot of people have credited Adelman with that, so... You know, it's sad to see him go, but again, I think the net result of this is going to be a benefit.
Indeed.
All right, well, let's get on to our discussion. This is going to be a quick one this week, because we're really just going to be talking about more news. But we're specifically going to be talking about the news that came up out of Gamescom this year. And of course, for those of you who aren't familiar with Gamescom, this is the largest gaming event in Europe in terms of both exhibition space and number of visitors. And it's actually the second largest gaming convention in the world after the Asia Games Show in terms of attendance. So, you know, this is actually a pretty big deal. It's gotten a lot bigger in the last couple of years, actually. So it's, you know, it's pretty interesting. Some of the announcements that come out of here, it definitely at this point now feels like an E3 part two.
Yeah, it really does.
And, you know, we actually had keynote event, press events from Microsoft, Sony, and EA. We're actually not going to be talking much about EA.
Well,
not because of any shame or anything. They didn't really make any of the kinds of announcements that we talk about here on the show.
See, I was hoping you would play it straight, and then we get there and be like, 99999.
Oh my gosh. I probably should have.
Haha.
But anyway, let's start off with Microsoft's press event. This happened, Tuesday, August 12th. It took place at 2 p.m. our time, I guess. Oh, heavens no. No, this one took place 5 a.m. Pacific Standard
Time. Yeah, 2 p.m. Germany time.
I'm sorry, this was weeks ago, and time zones messed me up on the best of days.
Well, yeah, probably 2 p.m. German time you were stuck at work.
Ah!
On a Saturday or something.
So the first thing that Microsoft announced at their press event was that, you know, their indie development initiative, ID at Xbox, is going to be bringing a ton of really great indie games to console on Xbox One before they come to any other platform. And this includes games, and I know we got some fans of some of these games listening to our show, games such as Smite, Dungeon of the Endless, No Time to Explain, Super Hot, Goat Simulator.
Got, like, Massive Chalice.
Yep. Night Squad, Plague Inc., which is, you know, a big one. Volgar the Viking, we've talked about that one here on the show. Threes. So, and, you know, there's actually just, like, a whole list here. You know, as always, we're going to post our show notes over on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org. And you can also Cuphead's on that list. Yeah.
Oh, heck yeah. And you'll be able to check out this whole list that was posted over on Joystick. We'll link you to that in our show notes. We also got news that Season 2 of Killer Instinct is going to be kicking off on October 15th.
Woohoo!
The Day 1 characters are going to be TJ Combo and Maya from Killer Instinct 2. And there is going to be an Ultra Edition, as rumored, available for Killer Instinct Season 2 that is going to come with an arcade emulation of Killer Instinct 2 called Killer Instinct 2 Classic. If you buy the Ultra Edition early, between September 23rd and October 14th, you'll actually get TJ Combo at that point in time. So if you already have Killer Instinct, you're already on the Killer Instinct train like myself, and you want a new character sooner, you'll be able to get TJ Combo starting September 23rd by buying the Ultra Pack.
So you'll be able to kick butt with him come the official launch.
Yep, and I have to tell you, I'm going to buy that for sure as long as Killer Instinct Classic 2 is also available on that date.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, as long as I can get both of those two things, that's definitely stuff I'd play a lot of. As I mentioned here on the show when we were talking about the rumors of Killer Instinct 2 Classic, I didn't get nearly as much time with that game as I did with the original Killer Instinct in arcades. So I would definitely like to spend some time with that one.
Microsoft and 343 Industries talked about the somewhat upcoming multiplayer beta for Halo 5 Guardians. It's going to be running from December 29th to January 18th, so it's a little bit of a ways off, but it's going to focus on four arena matches running at 60 frames per second, and they want a beta this early in development to solicit feedback from players. The beta will come as part of the Master Chief Collection, which is going to be available on November 11th, so if you buy the Master Chief Collection, you will be in the beta.
Excellent. Microsoft also announced the ability to pre-order and preload select titles from the Xbox Live store is coming to Xbox One. It looks like first two titles to support this functionality will be Forza Horizon 2 and FIFA 15, with more to be revealed as they're announced. You know, this is, of course, a hugely popular feature.
PC market, yeah.
Well, in the PC market, yeah. And, you know, now they've added it to PlayStation 4 as well. We talked about that previously. And gamers love this stuff. And I'm inclined to agree, you know. I actually bought Destiny on PS4 once they announced that it was going to preload. With, you know, mm-hmm. thought being, I'll have it all downloaded and ready to play as soon as the servers go up.
Yeah, I know, like, from World of Warcraft experience, the difference between, oh, it's expansion day, got a patch.
Oh, that's right. WoW started preloading too, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, like, for example, I got the Digital Deluxe or whatever, so...
Are you talking about for Warlords of Draenor?
Yes. So, and I did last time too, so, I mean, like, you know, you have all the game data already, so you're ready to go if the servers can handle it.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're talking about here, and it is. It's a very convenient functionality, it's very cool. I'm a big fan, and so I'm stoked to hear that Xbox One is going to get this. Games that I would be inclined to buy digitally anyway, stuff like Forza Horizon 2, I will almost definitely take advantage of this feature. I love getting new games at midnight because, you know, I'm a night guy. When I download a game at midnight, I'm typically like, all right, well, I can play it for an hour before I go to bed.
And then it's 4 a.m., which is like 2 p.m. Germany time.
Oh, you. There was also a new trailer for Below.
Looks so cool.
It really, really does.
We love capybara games.
Well, exactly. You know, I was just going to say, I wasn't going to point out just every little trailer that was played, but we're huge fans of capybara, and I would definitely suggest that you check out this new Below trailer. It looks like something really special. That's going to be releasing in 2015. We've been talking about it since the Xbox One announcement, so, man, I tell you, that's going to be an experience.
Yeah. So the white Xbox One Sunset Overdrive bundle is a thing. It is going to be $400, €400, or £350. and it has the white system-wide controller and a full game download of Sunset Overdrive. This bundle launches along with Sunset Overdrive on October 28th. So if you held out for the white PS4 and you were holding out for a white Xbox One, here you go. And a really cool-looking game to go with it.
The beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Ori and the Blind Forest, which many people are very excited to play on their Xbox and PC, has been confirmed to be a holiday 2014 release.
Yay.
So, you know, we're nearly there, not too much longer, and we will be playing this beautiful adventure game.
Mm-hmm.
There's also going to be a multiplayer beta for Fable Legends.
Nice.
You may recall we are really excited for this game here in the GameBuoy.org studios.
GameBuoy.org studios.
And this multiplayer beta is going to be available starting October 16th. We don't yet know if that's just going to be like an open beta or an invitational beta, but I'm definitely going to do my very best to get into it and play it, and if possible, talk about it here on the show.
Yeah, I want some of that pseudo Dungeons & Dragons realness.
This next one is all for you, Slaggy.
Oh yeah, Scream Ride has been announced, and the interesting thing is that it is from Frontier Development, who you probably know best from the original Roller Coaster Tycoon trilogy and Thrillville. So, you know, after the kind of Atari buyout of the IP of Roller Coaster Tycoon, Frontier hasn't been involved with it, but they're still clearly having a passion for roller coasters. And there's not much that we know from this spring 2015 release, but it's going to be an Xbox One, Xbox 360 exclusive, from what we can tell. And it looks kind of like a sci-fi roller coaster construction sim. And there's like kind of like futuristic folks riding around. And the goal seems to be to make people scream. So instead of like, oh, that would make people puke in a Roller Coaster Tycoon game, I guess the goal is to make as extreme of coasters as possible.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. So we'll see how that pans out. That's really exciting because I am in Roller Coaster Tycoon mode lately. And Scream Ride looks like an interesting twist, no pun intended, on the roller coaster game franchise.
Excellent. We also have news that Evolve is going to have an Xbox One beta as well. This one is going to start in January. And I believe the implication was that they're treating it as a beta, but also as early access. So I guess my understanding is that people who buy the game early will have early access even to this beta so that they can start playing it first on Xbox One platform. Also confirmed was, you know, what has been discussed for Evolve previously, that the Xbox is going to be the platform that gets downloadable content early for the duration of the title's life, much like we often see happen with Call of Duty on the Xbox platform or Destiny on the PlayStation platform.
Cool.
Yeah, and last, but certainly
yeah,
not
the
least. Yeah,
I was kind of distracted by thinking about this.
Another exclusive to the Xbox platform is going to be the sequel to the Tomb Raider reboot. This is, of course, Rise of the Tomb Raider. It's due on holiday 2015, and it was announced as an Xbox exclusive. There has been much to do since this announcement that maybe it's a timed exclusive, or if it's a proper exclusive, and right now all signs point to timed exclusive. But since no one will be strictly definitive on what that means, it seems like the ball might still be up in the air to some degree.
Yeah.
So, that's it for Microsoft's press conference. You know, it's actually a pretty good conference. There was, you know, some really cool announcements, some really cool stuff. Definitely some stuff that I am fully intending on buying and participating in. Slaggy, what did you think?
Yeah, I think there were some good announcements. Nothing like jaw-dropping, like E3-level announcements, but some things to look forward to. Some things that I'm sure there's at least one thing out there that people are excited about from that announcement.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm definitely stoked to hear about the Killer Instinct Season 2 Ultra Edition.
And I love the Ori and the Blind Forest and Below news and new trailers.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Super, super exciting. Alright, well, Sony's press conference was just like 5 hours later, still on, you know, Tuesday, August 12th, and they also had some pretty cool announcements.
They did. Can I take the first one?
They came right out of the gate running with this first piece.
Yes, that is the news that Journey and The Unfinished Swan are coming to PS4 sometime later this year, and they will be cross-buy, which means if you download them for PS4, you'll be able to play them on PS3. Unfortunately, I don't think that means if you already own them on PS3 that you will get it on PS4. But I will be double-dipping because they will be targeted for a frame rate of 60 frames per second, running at 1080p. They are being ported by Armature for Journey and Tricky Pixels for Unfinished Swan. So these already gorgeous games will probably look even more beautiful.
Excellent. And, you know, Sony then announced that the PlayStation 4 has crossed the 10 million units sold globally line.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, they specifically made a point to specify that figure represents consoles actually sold to buyers, not just shipped to retailers.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's ridiculous. That's like some Wii numbers right there.
Yeah, people love them PS4s.
Yeah. Then we started to get into sort of the meat and potatoes of announcements with Pixel Junk developer Q Games' game being announced. This is The Tomorrow Children. We don't really know a whole lot about this game other than it has a beautiful and striking art style, and it takes place in an alternate future involving some kind of mining giants.
So is that like giants who mine or giants who are being mined?
I don't know why it can only be one.
Ah!
We also saw an announcement that the first Destiny expansion will be launching in December.
Oh, wow.
This is The Dark Below, and it is going to have new content for basically every aspect of the game.
That's crazy. I assume that's more like a patch rather than a full-blown expansion, thinking in, like, MMO terms.
Well, I think their goal is to sort of do these, to sort of change what expansions are. You know, this, we talked about this here on the show. These expansions are going to be $20 each, or if you buy the subscription to them, it's going to be $35. And it's going to have new gear, new high-level gear. It's going to have new maps for multiplayer. It's going to have new missions. It's going to have new planets to visit. So in MMO terms, in terms of content, it at least has all the kinds of new content that we would expect to see in a proper expansion. I don't know about raising the level cap or anything, but that is the only level on which this doesn't sound like an MMO expansion.
Yeah, wow.
So, you know, be very excited. I'm stoked. I already have the subscription pack or whatever to get both of the first two expansions. And I'm really stoked to hear that this first one is launching in December. That's great.
Yeah, that's a pretty quick turnaround. So, in other news, Ninja Theory has announced their new IP. It is called Hellblade. It's in development for a initial PS4 exclusivity period. It is a ninja-class combat with strong character stories and a unique art vision, also featuring brutal, uncompromising combat. They're referring to it as an independent AAA game. That means they're developing and publishing it themselves, but they hope that it will match the quality and production values of AAA games on the market. It features Nariko from Heavenly Sword. No, I'm just kidding. The main character, Senua, looks very similar to her. She's venturing through a hellish underworld. So, we'll see, you know, Ninja Theory.
You know, they've actually stated that they're taking a lot of gameplay lessons from their previous work on Heavenly Sword, Enslaved, and DMC. And so their goal is to sort of take that kind of game and sort of kick it up and do something even more experimental and solid.
Yeah, let's see if they can knock it out of the park.
You know, I have always said about Ninja Theory, you know, they always drop the ball in the weirdest little ways. Like, they'll have really great ideas and fail to execute, or they'll execute super good but just have gone in a bad direction. So it would be great to really see them pull all the pieces together.
Yeah.
I really do actually think that they could make a tremendous game if everything were to line up for them.
I agree.
We also got the interactive teaser. This was PT. It was announced at Sony's press event, and they basically were like, hey guys, you can actually go download this right now. So, obviously PT is still up. We're gonna talk about it a little bit a little later. But if you have a PS4 and you haven't played PT yet, pause this episode right now and go play it right now.
Oh boy.
We also have the announcement of a new game by Ruffian. And this Ruffian you may be familiar with as the studio that took over the Crackdown series with Crackdown 2. They have a 4-player co-op shooter coming to the PlayStation 4 in 2015 called Hollow Point.
It looks pretty cool.
Yep, this is going to be published by Paradox Interactive, and it's a 2.5D style shooter, which
yeah,
to me...
Yeah, it's lots of, like, neon colors. And...
Yeah, I think it sounds great. You know, while it is being promoted as a four-player co-op shooter, it is going to support solo play with, like, AI bots on your team. So I think it's super exciting. I can't wait to play it. I just hope, you know, that it does well, because I love to see, I'd love to see a good studio like this knock it out of the park with a new IP.
Yeah.
It's always very scary. We also got the announcement of Mike Bithell's Volume. You might be familiar with Mike Bithell from his previous indie hit Thomas Was Alone. This is a game that has been described as Robin Hood meets Metal Gear in the future. There are demos and trailers out for this game. It's going to be coming quote-unquote first to PlayStation platforms, so the implication is that this exclusivity is a timed one. And I'll definitely be checking this out. I think it looks really cool.
Yeah, Media Molecule also took stage to announce Tearaway Unfolded, which is an upgraded, enhanced version of Tearaway slated for the PS4 next year.
You may recall a lot of people thought that Tearaway was, like, one of the games of the year last year. It was a huge Vita sensation. I was not as impressed as many, but I would definitely be interested in playing this game again on the PlayStation 4. I thought it was a really, really cute game. And, you know, while I thought it had some issues, I've seen the game described online as Zooey Deschanel the game, which should tell you everything you need to know about.
Who's that girl? It's Tearaway!
Which should tell you everything you need to know about if you'd like the tone of this game. So, please look forward to it.
Housemarque, which is the studio that you would probably know best from Resogun, as well as Super Stardust HD, is coming out with another PS4 frenetic shooter. It is Alienation. It involves space marines mowing down waves of nasty monsters.
Unfortunately, there is no relation to the sci-fi drama series from the 80s of the same name. What? Alien Nation? You don't remember that?
Nope.
Goddamn.
DayZ is coming to the PS4.
Now, is that just said DayZ, or is it DayZ?
Oh, DayZ. I always forget that. I always say it as DayZ. DayZ is coming to the PS4. According to... Hi, I'm DayZ.
Keep going.
According to creator Dan Hall.
Exciting! We also have here news of the new Michel Ancel game.
From Wild Sheep Studios, which we talked about last episode.
Indeed, that is the studio that, you know, Michel Ancel recently founded. This game is going to be called Wild, and it is an open-world title exclusive to the PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
Michel Ancel said, you know, that in order to make this game, they sort of had to focus on a single platform, and that the PlayStation 4 was clearly the best fit for the concept.
Yeah, I mean, from the trailer, it looks gorgeous.
And it's supposed to be, like, super organic. Their goal is basically for the open world to have, like, all kinds of random variables so that no two play sessions ever are identical.
Yeah, it looks so pretty.
And it, just looking at it, it looks really pretty, like, super, like, on a savannah. I am a little bit worried because this looks like the kind of game that gets announced and then, you know, never released. Like, the concept is just too big. But I'm going to remain hopeful because if they can get this game out, I really feel like Michel Ancel could nail this concept and make a really compelling open world game that even I would be super into.
Yeah.
And something, a game that I'm really excited about is Until Dawn. This game was originally revealed for PlayStation 3 some number of years ago. You may recall that this was a game that was basically about, like, 8 kids surviving a horror movie that happens around them.
Yay.
So, you know, like, you're basically, there's some kids in the woods, in a cabin, there's some kind of, like, horrific evil hunting them, and you need to try and keep all 8 of them alive, horror movie style. So,
yeah.
You know, they actually were talking on Kotaku about how they had done a fairly in-depth look at it back when it was a PS3 game, and they felt in tone that it was very similar to A Nightmare on Elm Street or Friday the 13th,
ooh,
only as a playable game where you're playing as the teens trying to stay alive. So if it keeps that tone, I'm very excited for
this
game.
That's your wheelhouse.
Yeah, right?
And how about this bomb that got dropped?
Yep. Last but certainly not least, Sony also announced a new PlayStation 4 update. This update will introduce the Share Play feature.
Yes.
This, you may recall, is the feature that many people were talking about when the PlayStation 4 was originally announced. Where you'll be able to invite a friend to play a game, one of your games, with you or not, even if they don't own a copy, where they can online, like, join you in your game. You know, jump in to assist or be your competition.
That's so cool.
So yeah, this is gonna be a part of the System Software Update 2.0, scheduled to release this fall. This is also going to add more broadcast and video sharing features, as well as dedicated support for YouTube, as well as changing the way that your What Your Friends Are Up To feed is going to update. You know, they say that they have more features that just aren't ready to be announced, but they'll be announcing them in the coming months before the update is available this fall.
Excellent.
Indeed. And you know, with that having been said, that's kind of it for Sony's press event. And I have to tell you, you know, I actually thought that Sony put on a better press event than Microsoft in retrospect, because Sony had PT.
Well, also, you have to look at it compared to the E3 events. I think that this Sony event had a lot more that was interesting to me than their E3 presser.
That's actually really interesting, especially considering we went and saw the E3 presser at a freaking theater.
Oh, Batman. Oh. That was basically the experience if you were not there.
Yeah, you ain't kidding. All right, well, you know, I guess that's really it for that. We're not going to talk about EA. We could sum EA up with EA Access, Sims 4. That's about it.
Yeah, pretty much.
So
they kind of have been trickling news out beforehand. We've talked about
talked a lot about EA in recent months. So I don't feel too bad skipping over them here. They didn't say anything that was that particularly new or fresh.
Yeah, you know, there was this wasn't a announcement at Gamescom, but there's the like creator sim that people are having fun with.
Yeah, the Sims 4 creator is posted up now on Origin. You can go start getting ready for your Sims 4 Sims if you plan on playing Sims 4.
Yeah.
Have fun with that. All right, well, we don't have any rumors to discuss this week, and I didn't really see any games industry articles that I really felt like highlighting here.
So yeah, it's kind of dominated by news, as we predicted.
Yep. So let's skip ahead and talk about
I said, hey, what's going on?
All right, well, I had a very gamerific week this week, and I believe you did too, Slaggy McWaggy. But I'm going to get us started off here. I want to start off with a somewhat controversial move I made while recording the last episode of Game Buoy. And that is, of course, that I, on the air, downloaded Theater Rhythm Final Fantasy Curtain Call.
Oh, yeah.
We recorded, 2.5 weeks ago, so I've been playing the game for 2.5 weeks off and on, and I have to say, it is an improvement on Theater Rhythm Final Fantasy in every possible way. From the user interface, to the way, like, the Dark Note is handled, which is completely different. Has a whole map system and stuff now, it's really cool. To the way experience and leveling is done, every aspect of the game has been improved for the better. The soundtrack, the track listing is incredible, which, you know, we've been highlighting here on Game Buoy, pretty much every week, except this week, I guess there weren't really new songs added, maybe. But it's an incredible game, incredible package. If you liked the first Theater Rhythm, you absolutely have to pick up Curtain Call when it releases here in a month or two. And if you're curious, but you haven't made the jump yet, I would highly recommend it. If you like Final Fantasy music, you will love Theater Rhythm. If you don't like Final Fantasy music, or you're just not super familiar with it, but you do like good rhythm games, you will like Theater Rhythm. Curtain Call is just absolutely a stupendous package, and I highly, highly, highly recommend it. Another game that I played a lot of this week was Disgaea 4, A Promise Revisited. I almost called it Disgaea 4 Return, but that's the Japanese name. I did wait for the domestic release on this one. And the best thing I can say about it is that I've had it for like a week and 3 days, and I've already put like 30 hours into it. I cannot put the damn thing down. I've been working super long hours lately, and still, every day before bed, it's like, I have to play a little. Like, I have to. So, again, this is another instance where everything from original Disgaea 4 has been improved for the Vita release. All of the DLC is included in one package, and there's brand new content. All of the sprites that they, you know, actually quite famously redrew for Disgaea 4 look even better on the Vita's screen, especially if you have one of those beautiful OLED screens rather than newer ones.
Early adopters.
Yep. So I, again, if you're a fan of the Disgaea series, I highly recommend it. If you're not a fan of the Disgaea series, but you've always been curious, this is probably the ideal jumping on point.
Mm.
And this will probably make a good segue, Mr. McWaggy, because the last game I've played this week, and I've also played a lot of this, is World of Warcraft. So, you know, I jumped back in on World of Warcraft actually months ago, but only recently in the last 3 or 4 weeks have I really been sinking my teeth into it full time and playing it, you know, hours a week, like many hours a week now. Whereas before I was going just an hour or two a week, now I'm going more like 10, 15 hours a week.
That's a part-time job.
Ah, right. I'm really enjoying it. I'm gearing a 90 and working an 85 who is now 87 up to 90.
Hey.
And just having a lot of fun revisiting the Pandaria content, doing, you know, running the dungeons and running all of the raids on my 90. I'm just really, really enjoying being back in that world. Slag, you want to talk about what you've been playing?
Yeah, I'm going to start off with World of Warcraft. You might remember on previous What's Up segments that about last November-ish, I popped back on for a while, and even like earlier around June of this year, so not too long ago I popped on, but kind of just got sidetracked. I just resubscribed shortly after our last episode went up, and I decided to level my paladin to 90, and he is geared up and running, looking for raids. I have a hunter who's just shy of 89, so he's next, so I'm having a lot of fun, especially because I, unlike Captain Spike, missed out on most of this expansion. Not necessarily because I I'm quitting. I just had a lot of IRL life stuff that was keeping me busy. I was spending a lot of time catching up on other games because, you know, for a while, WoW was just dominating my game time. But these days, as I'm, you know, as work is picking back up again, kind of getting busy, it's nice to just have, something that I can log into for a little bit and, you know, that it's so familiar to me instead of being like, oh, you know, oh, this is this new game, blah, blah, blah. So that's been the majority of my time, and I'm really happy with the changes they made since the start of the expansion. It kind of seems like they always do that they always kind of balance it out throughout the expansion, and that, you know, I'm hoping that more people will come back. That seems to be kind of common as a new expansion launches. And, yeah, so...
Yeah, here at the end of Pandaria, the Pandaria experience is so different than it was when Pandaria first hit. Like, now, the game is so great, even in ways that I thought when Pandaria first hit that were a mess. Like, they've been cleaned up now.
Yeah, so hopefully they've learned a lot of lessons over the past few expansions about their experimentation. And, you know, a couple months back, Ghostcrawler, Greg Street, who was one of the big names in Blizzard in the World of Warcraft team...
He was a big part of class design.
He's a big part of class design, and, you know, really kind of got his fingers wet and his feet wet. His feet wet everywhere.
Well,
because
he types at a keyboard.
Well, yeah, he used to be a marine biologist, so LOL. And he was a crab. Anyways, there's been a lot of kind of shift in talent at the World of Warcraft team, so, you know, I'm hoping that will be a positive thing. The other thing that I've been spending a lot of time on is Roller Coaster Tycoon 2. I've been trying to go through Roller Coaster Tycoon 2 Triple Thrill Pack and play each of the scenarios in order. So I've played through a couple of them, and I think my favorite one so far was probably, like, one of the first ones I did. There was a Robin Hood park where I had to, you know, it was a very easy one. Like, it was just, like, the end of year one, have 600 guests. But one of my favorite things, I like theming things and naming things. I named the toilet Little John's. I was pretty proud of that. One that I was really surprised with was that there was a Alcatraz-based one, and you had unlimited money, and your goal was just to build 10 roller coasters of excitement of minimum 6.0. And I thought, oh, cool, unlimited money, and there's all these really cool, like, cops and robbers-themed coasters and stuff, and really cool scenery. But I ended up having less fun with it than I thought I would, because the guests kept complaining about, like, the crazy pathing. So I really learned a lot of lessons that even though this game is over 10 years old, like, having crazy, like, just wide-open paths is not a good thing, so I should have really blocked some off. I've taken those lessons into the current one I'm working on, which is the Woodstock one. It's based on, like, you know, the Woodstock Festival. It has, like, all these, like, retro cars and VW vans that are part of the scenery, and the people love the scenery, but this one's actually really tricky, and it's funny because I was watching Pro Bear Cub, who's also known as the director of Gaming of Color, and they had been streaming that particular scenario and actually had to do it, I think, twice, and I'm on my third go at it because you have to have 1,500 guests by the end of year two, which means you basically have to constantly be building, and you have to constantly be running ad campaigns, but you only have a maximum loan of $10,000, which usually you can get up to $20,000-$25,000. So it's really, for one of the easier campaigns, it's like one of the beginner campaigns, it's pretty tricky. So I think all of the ones that I have done so far have been from the Time Twisters expansion, because I did the Robin Hood one, I think, yeah, I'd done a dinosaur one that I was kind of just like not as excited about, and then the prison one, which actually was a little disappointing, and the Woodstock one, which has been actually kind of challenging. So I think the Wacky Worlds content is what comes next, which is like a different locale. So I'm kind of like, maybe I should not be playing them in order, but I kind of like that, you know, I'm just going through them one at a time, and, you know, instead of just going to the ones that are like sandboxy and going from there. So yeah.
And I have to ask, you know, you have so much to say about Roller Coaster Tycoon. Have you seen this Kickstarter for this game, Parkitect?
Yes, and I won it. Parkitect, for those who maybe haven't seen it, is promising to look like a spiritual successor to the original Roller Coaster Tycoon games. Now, you might have also heard that Roller Coaster Tycoon World is making its way to PC next spring, I believe, or at least next year. I think it's next spring from Atari. And
yeah, it's planned for an early 2015 release.
And, you know, Roller Coaster Tycoon for mobile was a mess. We're hoping that that's not going to be the case with Roller Coaster Tycoon World, which will promise, like, online co-op where you can visit parks. Basically anything that you would want from a modern-day Roller Coaster Tycoon, it seems to be kind of promising that, but we'll see how it shapes up. But
yeah,
in the retro,
they've actually specifically said that they have learned their lessons from Roller Coaster Tycoon for mobile.
Oh, thank goodness.
And they very specifically have said that based on what people don't want, they now feel like they have a much better idea of what people do want.
Oh, good. So, yeah, with that coming out and with Parkitect hopefully getting funded, we'll, you know, definitely be trying to spread the word on that. You'll hopefully have a retro coaster experience and a modern coaster sim experience.
Hey, and don't forget Scream Ride. So yeah, we're coming up on a theme park simulator renaissance.
Because I've always loved Roller Coaster Tycoon, and it's just funny how it's become super relevant again.
I don't know if I'd say relevant.
Well, I know. I mean, you know, people are playing them again.
I'm just trolling. How about we move this show forward? Do you have any more games you want to talk about?
Nope.
All right. Well, let's get to our social links.
Yeah, so I want to start with some of our general feedback over on Twitter. The first one comes from Koopa Club, and they were responding to our tweet from last episode where Rob Roberts, a.k.a. Sky on Twitter, said, "Thanks to GameBuie.org and Koopa Club Podcasts, both Gamer X wrap-up shows, for keeping me awake on the drive home last night from San Jose." And Koopa Club says, "We count this as an official endorsement from our show from an internet celeb. Stronger than coffee, Rob Roberts." Your Enzyme says, "After calmly, LOL, discussing piracy of entertainment content on the internet, I now support 100% subscription-based future." So interesting, kind of evolving views. I like
Indeed.
That. Indeed. Your Enzyme also asked, "Are $60 games really that expensive, or are we just consuming a lot more now? SNES games were regularly $80 to $100 in the 90s. I remember having to save for months to get Donkey Kong Country, and it was one of maybe three games I'd get per year." And you had responded with, "I think, are we just consuming a lot more really nails it. When each console only had a handful of huge games a year, it was easier to spend on that handful." And continuing that conversation, Your Enzyme said, "I was always jealous of the kids whose parents bought them games. I had to mow lawns all summer, babysit, and do all the things I could to buy one game, and I played the crap out of them all. Other than a Game Boy, I bought everything myself, save for Christmas and birthdays." And, yeah, I mean, that definitely touches back to my childhood, too. And I'm sure similar for you. Your Enzyme says, "Oh, one more from me. One of the big things to remember about PS Now, its big push is going to be the fact that we'll be available on non-PlayStation platforms, TV, phones, tablets, etc."
I think we ultimately got to that talking point.
Yeah,
But maybe we didn't.
Oh, and one more from Your Enzyme. We love hearing from Your Enzyme.
We do.
Saying, "I hope I'm not the only one who actually slowed the episode down to 0.5x. Also, as much as I love the last
episode, I have heard from multiple people
that
they also did that.
Yes, GameBuie Superfan Crystal D actually told us when we ran into her
and
in Target.
Dan Dandy.
And Dandy, yeah.
I'm sorry, keep reading the tweet. That was rude.
Yeah, Your Enzyme says, also, as much as I love The Last of Us Remastered, I was just joking. We thought so. Speaking of Crystal Y. Diaz, Game Buoy superfan Crystal, she was talking about, we were saying, oh god, that her daughter's first words are gonna be like GameBuoy.org or something, or that she's gonna come out being like, hey, or, you know, anyway.
Yeah, yes. Well, I mean, that's our goal. Like, you say that like it's just something that's gonna happen, but.
Well, she said, yes, I make sure Talia hears everything. I think GameBuoy.org is gonna be among her first words. Aww. Game baby.
GameBaby.org.
GameBaby.org. We should do a podcast for babies.
Yeah, let's not. Keep going.
Speaking of babies, Rob Roberts, a.k.a. Sky. We love you, baby.
You think that's a lot funnier than I think that is.
Said, I was hanging out with my friend Melody and shopping at the Great Mall, you nosy twat, LOL. Hashtag love you mean it, hashtag episode 60. Point Narf, who is one of the hosts of the Tables, Ladders, and Podcast, said, I'm finally done going through the whole Koopa Club archive. GameBuoy.org, you're next. Oh dear, some of those earlier episodes.
Yeah, I feel so bad for anyone coming to the Game Buoy table at this point and listening to those early episodes, because they were a mess. God bless all of you that are still listening to our show, even after putting up with all that.
Yeah. So, with that, I'd like to move on to our social links question of the week.
Yes!
We said, this week we're talking about Gamescom 2014. Was there any news that really got your attention? For us here on the SS Game Buoy, the biggest news last week was the surprise PSN release of Hideo Kojima's PT. Oh, did I forget to talk about my PT experience?
You know, I think you did, but let's get to our listener experiences, and then we'll talk about your experience.
Have you played it yet? What do you think? So, we heard from Atari Barbie, Ian from the Koopa Club podcast, saying, probably one of the best things I experienced in quite some time. I hope this is the beginning of something to truly delineate movie trailers from game trailers. Why not use what games are for? Make them playable. Risky, but I loved it. And yeah, that's definitely something interesting that we haven't typically seen for, like, a teaser before. You know, we have playable demos and all that sort of thing, but this is definitely a new precedent being set. Crystal Ydea said, I watched PT being played at night. I turned on all the lights when I went down for ice cream after. I should have had I guess you did give me some s'mores ice cream later that night, so you did give me ice cream after. Your Enzyme said it was the perfect mix of dread and jump scares. I loved it. Oh, I can't with the jump scares. I'm such a wuss.
There were not even that many jump scares.
And over on Google Plus, Colin M said, who's also known as the Book Pirate from Twitter, I like saying that because yay pirates, said, that got my attention, Tomb Raider coming exclusively to Xbox One in holiday 2015. Just a few little follow-up tweets, not really follow-up tweets, but kind of not related to this Gamescom question of the week or previous episodes. Your Enzyme said, please don't talk about any internet drama. Some people seem to think it's important. I thought it was about the games, with kind of a like a uneasy face. I know you two don't, but this week has been frustrating as hell. Gaming is toxic now and is so frustrating. Apparently double frustrating, I think, because of the two tweets. Yeah, you know, there were some unpleasant things that happened in gaming this week. I was debating asking Captain Spike whether we needed to, like, even devote a whole episode to it.
Let me give you the TLDR on where Game Buoy is on this. People who make games, including someone who makes a game that was tremendously important to me as an individual, are being attacked for not towing the line of what's expected in the games industry right now. Some really gross personal stuff about that person has been being spread on the internet, and we're not talking about that. I'm not signal boosting that disgustingness. It is absolutely wrong that this happened, and I believe all of our listeners are compassionate, intelligent enough individuals to already know how wrong it is that this developer is being treated this way.
Right.
If you disagree, by all means, feel free to reach out to me privately, and I would actually listen to what you had to say as long as it wasn't some toxic ranting. But otherwise, we are not signal boosting that someone is being attacked for doing something challenging, for being different, for putting out their important art games. Like, no. There is some straight up bullshit going on in gaming right now, and I don't want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
So it did happen, but it would be impossible for us to talk about it without naming names, and that would really only serve the opposite of what I think needs to happen.
Yeah.
So we're just going to try to be the change that we need to see. We're going to keep talking about good things about games, and we're going to keep trying to direct people to healthier attitudes about how they feel about gaming and games journalism and media.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Initially, I was like, oh, I want to, you know, be like busting down all the social justice doors, but, you know, and it's not that I don't want to do that, like, especially when I champion causes like Gamer X, but, you know, I think that really my personal views have changed, that I want to just celebrate the good in gaming, so.
Oh, and yeah. And, you know, we definitely do champion equality and representation on this show. That's not going to change, but I'm not going to call attention to these disgusting things that are being done, because I feel like that would further the villain's cause more than the people who really just need their personal anonymity back so that they can keep making games.
Right.
So, you know, support the indie devs you love. Shoot them a tweet or an email to let them know that you support them by all means, but we're not going to turn this show into an hour of why the games industry and fandom is toxic right now, because I do agree.
Yeah.
But I think the best antidote is to be the change we want to see.
Right, right. Well said. And with that, we love your feedback.
We love your
iTunes subscriptions, ratings, and reviews. We like your Facebook likes. We fucking love Twitter and the time that we drop the F-bomb every episode, probably why we have to keep that explicit tag up.
Who knows? Maybe we won't be explicit for too much longer.
I know, especially after Crystal D was listening at work and we were like, hey.
Talking about video game boners.
Video game boners. So we might have to start turning into game baby.
No.
We like when you tumble with us on Tumblr. Again, we're kind of tumbling around ourselves, thinking of ways to make Tumblr exciting and having you have a reason to go there. You can plus one us on Google Plus. You can email us at mailbooey@gamebooey.org. And of course, everything's over at our home base, gamebooey.org.
Gamebooey.org.
Thank you. With that, Captain Spike, let's take this out with our shout-outs.
As ever and always, I want to shout-out to the Koopa Club podcast. Koopa Club is an award-winning podcast about Nintendo and gaming with an LGBT twist.
Oh, what awards did they win?
I believe it was from their mothers.
Aww.
That is Koopa with a Q, Club with a K. Of course, I'd also be remiss not to mention VG Realness, serving up a weekly dose of gaming chit-chat among friends, as well as the Game Over Takeover, your one-stop shop to go to for geekery galore. I always will and always must mention Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice and from whom I take ever so many of my cues. There's also the Nintendo Fun Club podcast, platformers, positivity, and pop punk.
I like all three of those things.
Dude, right? In non-gaming podcasts, I'd be remiss not to also mention Reading is Fundamental, the show that Slagkick hosts, featuring myself, Rob Roberts, and Delvin from VG Realness, dishing all the dirt when it's in season on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
There's also the Starboard Power Coupling podcast, a Star Trek podcast you hope doesn't fail, and last but most certainly not least, X Nation over at culturalwormhole.blogspot.com, an awesome podcast focusing on Marvel's Mighty Mutants.
Captain Spike, will you please take us to a game bar?
I don't think I will today.
Okay. Game Bar is the podcast that fills your brain space with hours of gay video game commentary. They're part of the Hunty Bunch and basically the gay video game Prairie Home Companion. I'm hoping the one which was the movie version featuring Lindsay Lohan. Nerdgasm Network. Nerdgasm Network is the wildest shock jock video game radio that you'll ever come across on the internet. It's a bag of hot dicks and always a wild time. For the World of Warcraft news tip, you can check in on Girls Gone WoW, where you can get a female perspective on the world's still most popular MMO, even if it's down to 6 million subscribers. And, you know, I'm having a good time, so you should too. In other online gaming news...
I am, so you should too. I'm sorry.
In other online gaming news, you can listen to Horde House, the place for all things online gaming, but never too seriously. I think they're actually going to BlizzCon, even though none of them play World of Warcraft anymore.
Oh, how funny.
But I guess they play Diablo and Hearthstone and stuff, and yeah. And last but certainly not least, I'd like to shout out to La Palanca Podcast. Podcast for y para gay gamers latinoamericanos en español. As ever and always, I want to recognize that our wonderful theme music was done by the late, great Zelda Reorchestrated, the site that aimed to reorchestrate beautiful Zelda music and symphonic sound. We'll forever and always be pouring out a 40 for them of Moo Moo Milk.
As ever and always, guys, thank you so much for sticking with us this lovely Sunday afternoon. We're going to let you get back to your day. We're going to get back to ours, probably get some Taco Bell. But we'll be back with you next week, I believe, to talk about the PAX Prime announcements before getting into a September of content that I am very, very excited for.
Let's hope that that PAX Prime is Dick Wolf-free.
I certainly hope so. So until next time, guys, keep gaming, keep thinking, and...
Du hast mich.
It's Gamescom. It happens in Germany.
Yume monogatari wo kiru.
Was that Yumi's Odd Odyssey? You said Yumi Monogatari. Yumi Monogatari. Yumi's Odd Odyssey? Oh, that was Farewell Yumihara Kawase, right?
Yes!
Oh.
Farewell Yumihara Kawase.
Ah! Ooh, Yumi Monogatari, that's not too far off. What were you saying?
Anyway, are you ready?
Yep.
Alright.
In some sad news, well, I guess it would be sad because it's doom and gloom. Ultimate for... Fuck. So we got news that Dotnod, sorry, we got, I'd also like to shout out to the, I don't shout out to that one anymore because they don't care about us and,
yeah, and project your voice a little.